Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now Eric, we've been chatting off mic for quite a while now, and you've been making the argument that now is a great time to be a buyer of precious metal stocks because of the fact that, well, they've been washed out, sentiment is low in the sector, and you are seeing some value, some opportunities to invest in different companies. I want to start off by asking you, what are some of the metrics? What are you using to make the argument that these gold stocks right now are undervalued? Because when you take into the whole context of the gold sector, we're in a seven-month correction. I understand that there are a lot of investors that have shied away from the sector, but we're still at $1,700 gold, and there can be downside from here. There can even be a more of a flush out in terms of investors. So give me your argument why you think right now is the best time to be buying and these stocks are cheap.
Well, I mean, first of all, as a value investor, I mean, my biggest fear is that I'm overpaying for something, that I'm overpaying for some expectations or whatever that will prove not to be true. And since this is a risky business, I mean, it's all about risk reward, and that's fine. But I mean, at this point in time, when you have gold at $1,700 per ounce and you have the operating companies, I mean, they're making more cash flow than they have done perhaps ever, or at least in the last decades, I guess. I mean, 2011, the cost structure crept up with the price of gold, and they weren't making that much money. And if you bought then, I mean, you could be looking at a 90% retracement from the 2011 highs to the 2015 bottom. But right now, the gold sector as a business is flourishing, basically. I mean, you see increased dividends. I think I saw an increase in dividend today from like Franco Nevada or something. Sure, that's a royalty company. But again, it's like the value of the gold business has probably not been more valuable in decades. So that tells you something that, okay, given the cost structure overall and the price of gold, it makes a lot of sense to be mining gold right now. And that obviously means that the explorers, etc., should reflect the economic potential in said gold business. But in my opinion, they're not. I mean, sure, they might not be as cheap as they were in 2015-16 in an absolute basis, but relative basis, many are cashed up, have a few millions in the bank and are not close to bankruptcy, which was the case in 2015. And again, the mining sector as a whole is more valuable now than in decades. So it makes no sense. The explorers, etc., should reflect the potential of the business that they're in. And I don't think they do that at all. And I mean, sure, we had a six-month correction. And again, I mean, if you were around 2011, 2012 and rode miners down 90% up until 2015, I mean, you would probably not, you know, you would walk away from this mining sector. And then we had the Q1 rally in 2016, which at that point I was thinking, okay, this is it. Oddly, we've had the worst bear market in the miners ever, so now it's, you know, go time again. That didn't happen. It was followed by 2 years of the most excruciating correction that I've been a part of, and now we had, you know, the COVID crash, and then sure, the miners and gold jumped higher and gold actually hit new all-time highs. But now we're back into a six-month correction again. So it's like, I get that people are discouraged, etc. But if you just look at what the miners are actually, you know, throwing out in terms of cash flow, the economics of the business, it's better than ever. And relative to that, I would say the juniors as a whole are cheaper than ever, cheaper than 2015-16, because at $1,100 gold, the business itself wasn't good. I mean, there was a small chance that you would have a project or potential of a project that would make sense or at least make a lot of money if the gold price stayed at $1,100 gold. But right now at $1,700 gold, we know, because we see it all the time, the producers are making cash, hand over fist. So no, these valuations don't make sense at all. And from a risk-reward perspective, this is the best market environment I've ever seen. I mean, I see more no-brainers now than ever before, and I've never been more diversified because I have a hard time, you know, not taking a stake where I see an opportunity. And if I don't feel like I'm leaving, you know, if there are a few opportunities out there, I like to be very concentrated because I don't believe in diversification per se. I look for the best risk rewards, and if that leads me to have a very concentrated portfolio, so be it. But right now, I'm more diversified than ever, and I could basically, you know, I couldn't swing a cat without hitting a junior that I think has, you know, great risk reward.
Okay. Eric, I want you to quickly break down a comment that you're making there, and I want a bit of a balance between miners and explorers, because from what I understand, you're saying that explorers offer even more value than the miners. However, if we go back and go through this seven-month correction that we're in, GDX and GDXJ have actually dropped pretty much the exact same amount, about 33% peak to trough, minus this little rebound that we have seen. And obviously, we all know that bigger money moves into the miners first, the bigger name stocks. That usually shows a bit more of a recovery for the sector. And when it comes to the juniors, there's been a number of juniors that have actually held up there. So why aren't you more focused on the majors right now, as they usually do provide a bit more downside protection, but they've sold off the same amount, at least as you're using GDXJ. And I realize that's not perfect comparison to the juniors, but why aren't the miners offering more value to you right now than the actual exploration companies?
Well, they might very well be offering better opportunities, especially if you focus on the risk side more than the reward side. I mean, if you have a higher weighting on the downside, sure, that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, some of these juniors that are cashed up are, you know, they're not that far away from, you know, having an enterprise value of zero. I mean, some could fall 50% and be back at an enterprise value of zero. So, I mean, is that a risk or not? I don't know. I mean, probably not a risk of bankruptcy within next few years if they just stop doing anything. But at the same time, it's, you know, goes back to the law of big numbers. Of course, it's going to be harder to move a company that's worth 10 billion relative to a company that's worth 10 million. And honestly, I think it's a lot more fun to be in the juniors, et cetera, because, I mean, if you take it down to pure risk reward, I don't think anything makes more sense than the project or prospect generators, but they're simply too boring for me. I mean, Mirasol Resources, for example, recently traded an enterprise value, I think, 3 million. I mean, they were even buying back their shares. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, especially given they have multiple partnerships with majors, etc. And all that should be reflected in 3 million? I don't think so. I mean, that makes totally no sense. But at the same time, it's like, it's just too boring because you've seen Mirasol have such a lackluster performance, and then you get sucked into that. Like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I know it's like super cheap, but it's not gonna go anywhere. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the most rational person around from that perspective, because I would get too bored, I think, if I was purely focusing on risk reward, especially with an emphasis on the risk side of things. And honestly, I mean, the producers, etc., sure, they have, you know, they're cheap and all that, but they might have a, you know, a mine life of, I don't know, 15 years on average or whatever. So, I mean, theoretically, they shouldn't really be valued at higher than a PE of 15. That's assuming that they don't have any, you know, exploration progress, which is probably not that likely. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. I just like to stick to the ones that I think are super cheap. And even though, I mean, if you have enough juniors with good looking projects and they're cheap enough, I mean, you could diversify over 40 of them. And if, you know, you might need a success, let's say, 1 or 2 in 10, and you're still going to blow GDXJ away or whatever. So I like to diversify from that standpoint, especially as the cheaper it gets. And if you get into private placements or whatever, I mean, then you might need 1 in 12 to be a success to pay for the others if you have had them at equal weighting. So it's like, yeah, I think about risk, et cetera, as well, but I, when it comes to junior explorers, et cetera, I just like to diversify the risk, and especially when projects are almost, you know, being given away, and you can buy a multi-asset junior and you're paying, let's say, 40% for their flagship asset, and they have two good looking projects or targets on top of that. I mean, you're not paying even for the flagship project, let alone the potential in the two other projects. And if there's a 1% chance that one of those projects would be worth anything, that's still super cheap.
So, Eric, I understand you are very focused on the juniors. So are we, in all fairness. Where are you seeing value in these junior stocks? Because let's say 90% of them have dropped fairly significantly, but there still has been a small portion of these stocks that have actually been completely outperforming and in uptrends during this correction. So where are you focusing? What do you look for in these stocks that you think offers the most value?
I mean, the most important thing, I think, is a long pipeline of growth projects, especially at this point in time, because, again, I mean, we know that the second project gets discounted heavily. And right now, I would say, again, that you're not paying for any of the multi-asset juniors flagship projects. So basically, you're getting a lot of projects. You can accumulate a lot of projects, a lot of assets, and not pay a cent for them, basically. And I mean, that's something I like from, I mean, in terms of, if I expect the gold bull to continue for 5 to 10 years, I would prefer to own juniors that have projects that are either big enough or they have multiple projects that they could theoretically not have to become a buyer of projects for the next 5 to 10 years. Because obviously, I mean, if you're buying super cheap, you want to sell them at very high multiples. You don't want to go out there and be a buyer of projects when, I mean, let's look at what the majors did in the during the last peak. I mean, they went out and, what's the, Kinross, who bought the Redback Mining. I mean, they destroyed, I don't know how many billions. You don't want to be that one. You want to be the Redback who got a $9 billion payday at the peak of the bull market. And I mean, preferably, again, you would have, you know, more projects in the pipeline that if your junior has success at one of their projects, they have other companies that you didn't even pay for that you now can, you know, run with during a bull market. So you could potentially have a company that is serially successful, or you could have a company like Line One, which has just such a big project that they could be busy for 10 years. And if the gold bull continues on for 10 years and they could add value for 10 years, I mean, what would the final price tag be? I don't know, but it sure is going to be a lot higher than where it is now. And of course, I mean, preferably you would have also a margin of safety. I mean, Line One has, you know, permitted mining lease, etc. I mean, there are other ones like, let's say, SK Mining. That's not cheap in absolute terms, but I have, you know, a dozen targets, etc., and the TV Jeff looks to be a very big discovery, but they don't have anything really backing it. So that's really the risk aspect is being, I guess, muted a bit by the fact that they have so many targets, that what are the chances that they will miss and not have one discovery over a dozen targets. So that's why I'm still comfortable with SK Mining, because the location, quality of the projects and amount of targets and land package, etc. But preferably you would like to have, I don't know, Line One Metals or Cabral Gold, which already has like 1.5 million ounces and a district scale land package where there's gold all over the place. I mean, if everything goes to shit, they still have 1 million ounces. And if it goes well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you get all the upside for free. And that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, wait, clarify this a little bit, though, because it sounds like you like ones that have a resource, like Lion One, like Cabral, with some exploration upside, but something like SK Mining, that thing's just been screaming higher during that last 7 months, and you like the number of targets there, but in all fairness, I hear a lot of companies say, look at how many targets we have, and look at how close to other projects we are, so how are you trying to balance out market caps of companies that have moved in completely different direction?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. And I was in the private placement for SK Mining. I haven't sold a share. So SK actually my largest position right now. And I mean, would I have it as the by far largest position, or at least, yeah, it's the largest position. Would I have that if I, you know, could easily sell or whatever? I'm not sure about that actually. So I mean, I guess I'm a bit biased from that perspective, but which I've written in my pieces on SK. It's like at the same time, when you think about it, it's like, okay, they had that success at TV Jeff from their maiden drill campaign. So obviously their geophysics, etc., they have that Tom Weiss guy, ex-Newmont chief geophysicist, who's running the geophysics. So I mean, if they had that kind of success on their first try, and they're seeing the same signatures, you know, for kilometers, and they have now discovered that there's three trends, anticline trends, and they see similar signatures from the geophysics pop up all over the place. Like, okay, yeah, I don't think that's just going to be, you know, all of them will be duds simply based on what kind of success they had on their first try. So, I mean, when I factor in all of that and you factor in what was SK Creek worth, okay, what's the size of these anomalies, the amount. So, I mean, theoretically, they could have 10 precious metal VMS systems. And what would that be worth at the end of the day? Even if they started with, you know, they sold off TV Jeff or whatever, and that was a 5 million ounce deposit, then they have, you know, 11 targets that they know of left to hunt. So again, it's like, yeah, is there downside protection? Not really. But what are the odds that TV Jeff and none or any of the other ones won't amount to anything? I don't think that, like, I don't think there's a high likelihood of that. And given the location, the type of the system, the grades, the thickness they're seeing at TV Jeff, I mean, if one of those blobs, basically those geophysics blobs, or you know, have a decent size, that could be worth billions. Just look at what Skeena Resources has discovered from just drilling out the remnants over like 1 kilometer. So in light of all that, in the context and in the grand scheme of things, I still really like SK Mining, since I think the chance of success when all is said is and done is much higher than your typical junior.
All right. Well, Eric, we're going to wrap it up there. I think in full disclosure, it sounds like you do own all these stocks that we have talked about. So everybody keep that in mind. But hey, it's always great having you on the show, Eric. I do appreciate your insights. And in a broad sense, I do think that there are some good buys out there. But I don't want everyone to just think you can just throw a dart in whatever company you hit. That's going to be a great investment. You really do need to do some research, especially at this time of a market and when sentiment is washed out like that, because, hey, there is always the chance that it goes lower, right? And these stocks get washed out even more, but be prepared for all of those scenarios. Eric, good chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Have a great rest of your week.
The same, Corey. Bye.